Throughout history, there have been some men and women identified for their eminent doctrine and remarkable holiness of life, whom the Church has declared doctors. They fulfill what we hear in Psalm 15. Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy mountain? Whoever walks without blame, doing what is right, speaking truth from the heart, who does not slander with his tongue, does no harm to a friend, never defames a neighbor, who disdains the wicked, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath despite the cost, lends no money at interest, accepts no bribe against the innocent. Whoever acts like this shall never be shaken. Let us now place ourselves before the doctors of the Church to learn from their lives and their teaching in this program, Speaking Truth from the Heart. My name is Father Rick Martinetti. I'm a Franciscan priest, and I'm reading to you from the Legenda Maior, or the Major Life of St. Francis of Assisi, as recorded by St. Bonaventure of Bagnoregio. We're in chapter 12 now. St. Bonaventure dedicates this chapter to the effectiveness of the preaching of Francis, to the graces that came about when Francis opened up his mouth and preached the Word of God, graces and healings and miracles that confirmed that the Lord was working through this little man from Assisi. But before we get to the stories of Francis's preaching, Bonaventure begins this chapter with Francis falling into doubt. Earlier on, Francis had received a powerful message from the Lord telling him that he was to be the herald of the great king, that he was to go about into the world and proclaim the goodness of God, the great king. But Francis was also attracted to a life of solitary prayer, as well as a life of preaching. And he falls into doubt as to which one he's truly being called to. So let's pick up the story here as St. Bonaventure records it. The truly faithful servant and minister of Christ, Francis, in order to do everything faithfully and perfectly, directed his efforts chiefly to the exercise of those virtues which, by the prodding of the Sacred Spirit, he knew pleased his God more. In this matter it happened that he fell into a great struggle over a doubt, which, after he returned from many days of prayer, he proposed for resolution to the brothers who were close to him. What do you think, brothers? What do you judge better? That I should spend my time in prayer, or that I should travel about preaching? I am a poor little man, simple and unskilled in speech. I have received a greater grace of prayer than of speaking. Also, in prayer there seems to be a profit and an accumulation of graces, but in preaching, a distribution of gifts already received from heaven. In prayer there is a purification of interior affections and a uniting to the one true and supreme good with an invigorating of virtue. In preaching there is a dust on our spiritual feet, distraction over many things, and perhaps relaxation of discipline. Finally, in prayer, we address God, we listen to God, and as if living an angelic life, we associate with the angels. But in preaching, it is necessary to practice great self-emptying for people, and by living humanly among them, to think, see, speak, and hear earthly human things. But there is one thing to the contrary that seems to outweigh all these considerations before God, that is, the only begotten Son of God, who is the highest wisdom, came down from the bosom of the Father for the salvation of souls in order to instruct the world by his example and to speak the word of salvation to people whom he would redeem by the price of his sacred blood, cleanse with its washing and sustain with its drought, holding back for himself absolutely nothing that he could freely give for our salvation. And because we should do everything according to the pattern shown to us in him as on the heights of the mountain, it seems more pleasing to God that I interrupt my quiet prayer and go out to labor. When Francis had mulled over these things for many days with his brothers, he could not perceive with certainty which of these he should choose as more acceptable to Christ. Although he understood extraordinary things through the spirit of prophecy, this question he could not resolve with clarity on his own. But God's providence had a better plan, that the merit of preaching would be shown by a sign from heaven, thus preserving the humility of Christ's servant. He was not ashamed to ask advice in small matters from those under him. True lesser brother that he was, though he had learned great things from the supreme teacher and God, he was accustomed to search with special eagerness in what manner and in what way he could serve God more perfectly, according to God's good pleasure. As long as he lived, this was his highest philosophy and his highest desire, to ask from the wise and also from the simple, to seek from the perfect and the imperfect, the young and the old, how he could more effectively arrive at the summit of perfection. Choosing, therefore, two of the brothers, he sent them to Brother Sylvester, who had seen the cross coming out from his mouth, and at that time spent his time in continuous prayer on the mountain above Assisi. He was to ask God to resolve his doubt over this matter and to send him the answer in God's name. Francis also asked the Holy Virgin Claire to consult with the purest and simplest of virgins living under her rule and to pray herself with the other sisters in order to seek the Lord's will in this matter. Well, through a miraculous revelation of the Spirit, the venerable priest Sylvester and the Virgin Claire, dedicated to God, came to the same conclusion, that it was the divine goodwill that the herald of Christ should preach. When the two brothers returned and told Francis God's will as they had received it, he rose at once, girded himself without the slightest delay, and took to the roads. He went with such fervor to carry out the divine command, just as he ran along so swiftly, as if the hand of God were upon him, giving him new strength from heaven. I think this is a beautiful story which illustrates something that was so important to who Francis was, his humility. Though he was a very holy man of God who received special gifts in prayer and special insights from the Lord, he seeks the advice of others. Even the most simple people, he wants to listen to them. He knew that we all had some of the truth, that the Holy Spirit was alive in all of us and working and speaking through us. And so Francis listened to other people and tried to discern God's voice within them. And he had a special affection for those that were prayerful. The Lady Claire, a good friend of his who had given herself over to contemplative prayer. Brother Sylvester, one of the first priests to join the order, who had taken up residence in the Carceri Hermitage above Assisi and had given himself over to prayer. Francis respected Sylvester's priesthood. He respected his prayerfulness. He respected the holiness of Claire. And he asked her and a virgin that she lived with to pray for him and determine God's will. And all that these three individuals do, they come back to Francis, reminding him of his original calling. He had known that God called him to be a herald, a proclaimer of good news, and they just had to remind him the herald must go out and preach. Though it was very attractive for Francis to live a solitary life of prayer, for the good of souls, for the sake of the people of God around him, he had to descend from the mountains at times and go out and preach the good news and help others to meet Jesus Christ.
In early
Give me my room.
And let's continue with the story now as Bonaventure records the miracles that were attached to Francis's preaching. Francis went through the neighboring districts and came to a village called Alviano. When the people were gathered, he called for silence, but he could scarcely be heard above the shrieking made by the swallows that were nesting there. In the hearing of all the people, the man of God addressed the birds and said, "My sister swallows, it is now time for me to speak, because you have already said enough. Hear the word of God and stay quiet until the word of the Lord is completed." As if they had been able to understand him, the birds suddenly became silent and did not leave that place until the whole sermon was over. All who saw this were filled with amazement and gave glory to God. News of this miracle spread around everywhere, and kindling reverence for the saint and devotion for their faith. So this little story of the miracle of the swallows, the birds, is just one more illustration of God proving that Francis is speaking his word. God can do anything. And sometimes God chooses to work through the saints to give us miracles in nature. Sometimes the animals are gifted to perceive holiness. And it seems that this happened numerous times in the life of Francis, that even the animals and the birds sensed his holiness and did his bidding as he was doing the will of God. God is kind of humorous. And in doing these things, God gets the attention of the people around Francis and gets our attention today to listen to the words that come out of this holy man's mouth. Let's continue the story. Another time, when God's servant was preaching on the seashore at Gaeta, out of devotion, crowds rushed upon him in order to touch him. Horrified at people's acclaim, the servant of Christ jumped alone into a small boat that was drawn up on the shore. The boat began to move as if it had both intellect and motion of itself, and without the help of any oars, glided away from the shore, to the wonderment of all who witnessed it. When it had gone out some distance into deep water, it stood motionless among the waves, as long as the holy man preached to the attentive crowd on the shore. When, after hearing the sermon, seeing the miracle, and receiving his blessing, the crowd went away and would no longer trouble him, the boat returned to land on its own. Who then would be so obstinate and lacking in piety as to look down upon the preaching of Francis? By his holiness of life, not only creatures lacking reason learned obedience, but even inanimate objects served him when he preached as if they had life. The Spirit of the Lord, who had anointed and sent him, and also Christ, the power and wisdom of God, were with the servant Francis wherever he went, so that he might abound with words of sound teaching and shine with miracles of great power. For his word was like a blazing fire, reaching the deepest part of hearts and filling the souls with all wonder. Since he made no pretense, sought no elegance of human composition, but exuded the breath of divine revelation. Another time, when he was to preach before the Pope and cardinals at the suggestion of the Lord of Ostia, he memorized a sermon which he had carefully composed. When he stood in their midst to offer his edifying words, he went completely blank and was unable to say anything at all. This he admitted to them in true humility and directed himself to invoke the grace of the Holy Spirit. Suddenly, after his prayer, he began to overflow with such effective eloquence and to move the minds of those high-ranking men to compunction with such force and power that it was clearly evident it was not he, but the Spirit of the Lord who was speaking through him. Because he first convinced himself by action and then convinced others by word, he did not fear rebuke, but spoke the truth boldly. He did not encourage, but struck at the life of sin with a sharp blow. Nor did he smooth over sin. He struck at the faults of sinners with harsh reproaches. He spoke with the same constancy of mind to the great and the small, and would speak honestly with the same joy of spirit to the few as to the many. People of all ages and both sexes hurried to see and hear this new man given to the world by heaven. Moving about through various regions, he preached the gospel ardently as the Lord worked with him and confirmed his preaching with the signs that followed. For in the power of his name, Francis, the herald of truth, cast out devils and healed the sick. And what is greater, the Lord through him softened the obstinate minds of sinners and moved them to penance, restoring at the same time health to bodies and hearts, as his miracles prove, a few of which we will cite here. It's important for Bonaventure to remind us, a good doctor of the church that he is, that as great as Francis was, it was the power of God flowing through him. Bonaventure never misses an opportunity to remind us that humility is the key to letting the Lord speak and work through us. Francis needed to pray. He went blank when left on his own, but when he prayed, the Spirit of God took him over and spoke beautiful words through him. This is a key in Franciscan spirituality, a key that Bonaventure highlights again and again in many of his writings, that we need prayer and relationship with the Lord. The Lord wants to work and do beautiful things through us. The Lord wants to preach great sermons through us. He wants our lives to be a sermon of love. This is only possible when we prayerfully give ourselves to God and invite God to do the speaking through us, do the preaching through us, do the living and loving through us, and bring his peace into the world. Continue on with some of the stories Bonaventure desires to share with us. In the city of Toscanella, Francis was warmly taken in as a guest by a knight whose only son had been crippled since birth. At the father's insistent entreaties, he lifted the child up with his hand and cured him instantly so that all the limbs of his body at once got back their strength in view of all. The boy became healthy and strong, and immediately rose walking and leaping and praising God through the merits of St. Francis. In the city of Narni, at the request of the bishop, Francis made the sign of the cross from head to foot over a paralytic who had lost the use of all his limbs, and he was restored to perfect health. In the diocese of Rieti, a boy was so swollen for 4 years that he could not in any way see his own legs. When the boy was presented to Francis by his tearful mother, he was cured the moment the holy man touched him with his sacred hands. At the town of Orte, a boy was so twisted that his head was bent to his feet and some of his bones seemed to be broken. When Francis made the sign of the cross over him at the tearful entreaty of his parents, he was cured on the spot and stretched out his limbs immediately. There was a woman in the town of Gubbio whose both hands were so withered and crippled that she could do nothing with them. When Francis made the sign of the cross over them in the name of the Lord, she was so perfectly cured that she immediately went home and prepared with her own hands food for him and for the poor, like Peter's mother-in-law in the gospel. In the village of Bavagna, Francis marked the eyes of a blind girl with his saliva 3 times in the name of the Holy Trinity and restored the sight she longed for. A woman of the city of Narni, afflicted with blindness, received the sign of the cross from him and recovered her sight that she had longed for. At Bologna, a boy had one eye covered over with an opaque film so that he could see nothing at all with it, nor could he be helped by any treatment. After God's servant had made the sign of the cross from his head to his feet, he recovered his sight so completely that having later entered the order of lesser brothers, he claimed that he could see far more clearly with the eye that had been previously ill than with the eye that had been always well. Just a list of miracle stories that Bonaventure includes here to remind us of the holiness of Francis. Notice that Francis doesn't do a lot of dramatic things when the Lord calls him to be an instrument of healing. Mostly he uses the sign of the cross. He traces the sign of the cross over people. He lets the power of Christ's cross be what heals, what leads people to conversion, what strengthens them in mind, body, and soul. Francis was a man of the cross, and he let Jesus' power on the cross flow through him. Story continues. A brother was suffering from such a terrible affliction that many were convinced it was more a case of possession by a demon than a natural sickness. For he was often completely cast down and rolled about foaming at the mouth, with his limbs contracted, sometimes stretched out, sometimes bent or twisted, sometimes rigid and hard. Sometimes, when he was stretched out and rigid with his feet level with his head, he would be lifted into the air and then would fall down horribly. Francis, Christ's servant, was full of compassion for this man in such a miserable and incurable illness, and he sent him a morsel of the bread he was eating. When the man tasted the bread, he received such strength that he never suffered from his illness again. In the district of Arezzo, a woman had been in labor for several days and was near death. There was no cure left for her in her desperate state except from God. Christ's servant was passing through that region, riding on horseback because of physical illness. It happened that when the animal was being returned to its owner, it was led through the village where the woman was suffering. When the people of that place saw the horse on which Francis had been mounted, they took off the reins and placed them on the woman. As soon as the reins touched her, all danger miraculously passed, and the woman gave birth safely. A man from the city of Pieve, who was religious and God-fearing, had in his possession a cord which our Holy Father had used as a belt. Since many men and women in that town suffered from various diseases, he went to the houses of the sick and gave the sufferers water to drink, which had been touched by Francis's cord. In this way, many were cured. Sick persons who ate bread touched by the man of God were quickly restored to health by divine power. Since the herald of Christ in his preaching brilliantly shone with these and many other marvelous miracles, people paid attention to what he said, as if an angel of the Lord were in their midst and speaking. For excelling in him were a privilege of virtues, a spirit of prophecy, a proficiency for miracles, signs given by heaven to preach, an obedience of creatures lacking reason, a powerful change of hearts at the sound of his words, and the Holy Spirit beyond all human comprehension, speaking words of authority through him. He was granted by the Supreme Pontiff permission to preach, a rule confirmed by the Vicar of Christ, in which the manner of preaching is described, and as a seal, the marks of the Supreme King, the stigmata, were imprinted on the body of Francis. There are witnesses affirming to the whole world without any doubt that Francis, the herald of Christ, celebrated in mission, authentic in teaching, admirable in holiness, was truly a herald of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because of all this, he truly preached Christ and was known as a messenger of God. My name is Father Rick Martinetti, a Franciscan priest with the Order of Friars Minor, and I want to thank you for taking this time to listen with me and to reflect on the writings of Saint Bonaventure. And let's continue to ask his prayer and his intercession that what we hear may truly have an effect in our lives, that it may sink deeply into our hearts and lead us to a life of greater love for our Lord Jesus Christ. And may God give you peace.